This is CliffCentral.com.
Lisa Gumba Regisford, your host. And on today's show, we're going to be talking the road to New York Fashion Week, Spring-Summer 2017, something very exciting. Now, the idea is to obviously connect with what's happening on the ground within different top fashion cities in the world. And New York is definitely where we want to start, you know. Now, the narratives around African fashion brands with a global appeal make it very important, because I think the idea is Fashion Week's become so important. It doesn't matter if you're in India or if you're in South Africa, if you're in New York, you kind of also want to be alert, be aware of what people are doing within the different fashion weeks, what sort of trends are influencing how people show, and, you know, all of that good stuff. Now, we're going to be focusing today on some of the ways that New York is going down this season, the trends affecting designers' mind shift of how to show this season, focusing also on a couple of brands. We have lined some beautiful exclusives, fashion exclusives, when we get to New York next week. And we also will be highlighting some of the African fashion industry professionals, you know, from brands to models, who are waving the African flag high. Can't wait to hang out with Ajak Adeng or Milan or Sharam Deniz from Angola. It's beautiful to see African industry professionals really holding it down, doing their thing, and really, you know, waving the flag, but also doing something great to really push the industry ahead. Now, it's about observing the changing trends at Fashion Weeks. It's about adapting where relevant. But before we go on further, I want to share a few brands that I'm actually looking forward to seeing who will be showcasing at Made Fashion Week this season. Bibu Mohapatra is definitely one of the designers I'm looking forward to. I'm going to mention the designers, and then we're going to discuss with my panel why they're worth looking forward to. We're also going to be looking forward, personally, I'm looking forward to Mimi Plangier. We're looking forward to 3 as 4, if you also want to check that out, and we will share why we are really highlighting some of these brands. Laquan Smith is also someone who we've been looking at. He's really evolved, and I love what he's doing personally. And I don't want to give and tell so much, because I'm also going to be picking minds of my guests today, my special guests in studio. Now, since my special guests today are my in-house squad, I will share with you as the show goes on why some of these brands are worth looking forward to. Now, we're joined on the show by Morag Stein, who is going to be engaging us throughout the show, and then later glamming up the show with her glam up for a dose of makeup and beauty tips. Welcome to the show, Morag.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you.
And you're looking very peach. Happy spring.
Thank you.
Happy spring for those around here.
Everyone looks so wonderful.
So springy.
And colorful today.
What are you wearing, and what's inspiring the look?
I'm actually just wearing a nice little coral body with a nice navy blue skirt and some colorful flats. Just keeping it really simple, nice lace detail. Yeah, and I've got a bright, bright orange lip on to celebrate spring.
I know. I'm looking at you. I'm trying to keep up, you know. I'm also trying to keep up.
I love your denim.
Well, thank you very much. This denim I'm wearing today, because you forget to ask me what I'm wearing. Edgy always forgets to ask me. I'm wearing a beautiful denim, very fitting body hugging, because I can.
Absolutely.
sort of denim. And it's a very stonewash-ish type denim. I see Morag wear a lot of this, and today I surprised her. She probably thought I pulled this from her wardrobe. And it's got a beautiful sort of choker-looking sort of neck. Which I was gonna actually, when I buy clothes, I normally transform them, because I love to recycle clothing. But then Morag was like, actually, don't do anything, just keep it as it is. And it's got that zip that goes all the way from up to down, down to up. So if anything happens, or if somebody pulls it down by mistake, then I have no dress on. But it's a beautiful spring, nice day in Johannesburg. Now, we're also joined by our New York contributor, Edgy Benson, who will be plugged in throughout the show. Edgy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Liz.
And what are you wearing? Be creative. Thank you.
I'm being really creative. I'm wearing a t-shirt and a pair of jeans. But you have to understand, guys, it's 7 o'clock in the morning for me. So I have to cut me some slack.
You know what, Edgy? You're always wearing a skinny pair of jeans and, like, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. Skinny pair of jeans and a t-shirt, but it's very good to have you on the show with us today, Edgy.
Thank you.
So welcome. And obviously, before we also move further, I would love to just remind our listeners who are tuned in that we have my favorite segment. I hope it's everyone's favorite segment. I call it the red glass of wine at the end of the show, and it's called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So feel free to share with us your who's and your whys, because that is when we get to unwind, and we might have some cheese on there too. Now, if you're tuning in to the show for the first time and have some input around the fashion businesses or the business behind fashion in the continent, and you would love to join us on the show, please email us at info@fashionlabafrica.com. Also, keep your tweets coming throughout the show at FashionLabAF and share your thoughts around New York Fashion Week Spring Summer 2017. We'd love to hear what you are looking forward to. Now, back to my special guests on today's show. I want to reintroduce Edgy again. Edgy runs NU in New York, which is an offering services company offering manufacturing, concept development, pattern development, private label development, and sourcing services to fashion houses such as Vera Wang, Chloe, Bill Blass, Kate Spade, and stores like Harrods London, Saks, and Colette Paris. Across the U.S., Europe, and Africa, Edgy is really holding it down. You know, he's a heavyweight, but he's very humble, so we love him. He's also the man behind my denim collection, which will be launching in about 10 days in New York around all the Fashion Week highs. So that is very, very exciting. And then I want to introduce our special madame here by the name of Morgstein. And I know for those who've been tuning in, again, you've heard us, you've heard her Glam Up series. She comes with all the trips, the ticks and the tricks and the tips and everything else that we need to be able to know to keep up when it comes to the beauty game. Now, Morg has acquired extensive knowledge and experience through her 10-year career in the beauty industry dominion. She's internationally accredited and has been appointed as one of Africa's top 10 makeup artists by MAC. With a list of loyal A-list clients, publications, campaigns, the opportunity to own and work with the most elite in the industry, including me, Morag is a true game changer. So watch out, you know. She's also behind, I don't know if anyone's watched Alison, but there's a new film called Alison, which is a story very, very, to me, it's a sad story, but it's a story of hope. And it's a story that's been filmed here in South Africa. She was behind the scenes she was behind the special effects makeup artistry of that award-winning hybrid film. If you haven't watched Alison, I think you should really check it out. It's very inspiring. Now, before we continue to discuss some of our expectations around New York Fashion Week, who we are looking forward to, why, what we'll be doing in New York and all of that stuff, we have to agree that screens, whether phones, pads, have become the new front row at New York Fashion Week, especially since Instagram's launch in 2010, faced with a wall of screens at every show. You know, there's been so much. I mean, Edgy and Morag, before, I want to just share a quick clip, but before we do that, what are your thoughts? And it's not just New York. I mean, is it only me who wants to scream when the show begins and all the phones go up? I'm like, what? Someone please help.
No, because it's so instant now. You know, fashion is so instant right now. So people are streaming because they're...
Did we lose you? Hello, Edgy? Okay, I think we've lost Edgy there. We'll try to get him back online. Morag, what are your thoughts?
You know what, Liz? Obviously, with social media being so big in our industry, in the fashion industry, as Edgy was saying, it's instant. So, you know, everyone wants to be the first person to catch up. Everyone wants to be the first person loading it on social media. Every blogger, every front row person wants to be the first to, you know, give the world what's happening on Fashion Week. So, or more on the runway. So, you know, for me, yes, it is annoying when I see a phone going up in front of my face, and I do get quite aggressive about it. But, you know, it's I understand it from their point of view, but I also feel, you know, with New York Fashion Week, with any Fashion Week, there is live streaming, and, you know, everyone should really just respect that we are all there for our own reasons, and having a phone going up is not ideal. So I disagree that there should be phones in a fashion show.
Yes, I also agree. I mean, the last show I attended just now, which was the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, Johannesburg, was shocking because the number of fronts, like, and you know what annoys me more, and actually something I'm trying to understand is, why flip your phone? Some people flip their phones up, but they don't even care about the footage. Like, why are you doing that? There's a runway. There's a space. Someone, please, can we help do some? I'll get Komotso and all of our friends to help put together some placards that say, put your phones down. Or just be hardcore, like some designers who just said, this is no phones allowed.
Yes, I know David Lale is actually one of those designers who doesn't allow, phones and social media in his shows. And, you know, at the end of the day, there are professionals filming this. And if you load footage that is really bad, it's going to make the clothes, the designer, the show, everything, it's going to just look bad.
You know, Edgy, are you here with us?
Yeah, but, you know, you guys, you have to remember something. Because fashion is instant now, and we have all these ways to really show how instant it is. I mean, there's all the live streaming ways that we have, you know, they all add to them. You know, it's a sense of occasion. You are there, you have your followers, you want to stream it, you know? So I think that's one of the reasons why there's all these devices in the show. And quite honestly, a lot of people are looking into their devices much more than they're looking into the show. Yes. I think it's not great.
It's not great at all.
But it's just the way it is. We're just so instant, you know, like everything is this instant satisfaction, instant gratification. And then you have to build your social media landscape. You know, that means that you have to populate it. And things like this help people populate their social media streams. But fashion also relies on these people. So it's a catch 22. Fashion likes you when you have a huge Instagram following, you know, but to do that, you have to be very instant, you know, in the way that you're streaming to you. So yes, that's a battle we have to fight. But believe me, I think it's going to be a tough battle to win.
Guys, you know what? Since we are all talking about this, I want to just share roll over to RACT to see how the industry is reacting to the glut of social media and how sharing sites might be changing the fashion week for the better, some think. But here we go.
Fashion Week has gotten a reputation for being really overwhelming, especially in New York. When you're looking at it online, it can seem like there's a million things happening. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there's more happening this season than there was last season or the season before or even 5 years ago. It's just that there are more people covering it on more platforms.
In the old days, when you had to wait a few months to even see the pictures in the magazines, you know, the stuff was coming to the store by the time you were really kind of seeing it in the magazines. Now you see it at the Marc Jacobs show. It's all post-apocalyptic lace and some sparkle and amazing, amazing, amazing. It's all over the internet the next day. It's all over Instagram and Twitter that day. And by the time it comes to the store 5 or 6 months later, you've already seen it. You've loved it, hated it, loved it again, gotten nostalgic about it. And nobody has been able to buy it because it's not in stores for 6 months. So that's the big problem, is that we have ejaculated 5 times before we're able to actually have sex with that piece of clothes, not to be graphic. Right when the internet happened, it was suddenly like, oh, we could cover fashion quickly and we could put photos up almost the next day. Now, because of social media, if you don't tweet the first look or Instagram the first look, you've missed the boat.
Well, I see now everything is in real time. Everyone tweets and Instagrams every single thing that's happening, from backstage to the models to what they're wearing to the audience. And I want to be the designer with strength in social media.
Tommy got in touch with us about 3 months ago, and we came up with the idea of doing the first ever Fashion Week meetup, where it was totally democratic. We met Tommy Hilfiger, we saw makeup being put on, we got back to the runway before the crowds got here. So I'm just hearing that everyone's just having a great time and just really excited for the experience.
It's been incredible, you know, clothes are beautiful. And for me as a photographer, I love to photograph beautiful things. And it's great to really get a sneak peek into one of the big things that makes New York City what New York City is.
I'll be Instagramming, uploading pictures, videos, and everything. I already uploaded just 3-4 of them. already.
The great thing about Instagram and Fashion Week is that it brings a different perspective that photographers weren't pushing out there before Instagram. And so now you have photographers of all shapes and sorts bringing an insider's look at Fashion Week that might not have been possible on the same level before there was Instagram.
The beauty of social media is if there is a world that you long to be a part of, it's you can sort of slip your way into it. You know, in the old days, I couldn't. I didn't see stuff on, you know, we didn't have the internet. I could only see the show in a magazine.
It would seem when you're looking at all of these Instagrams that the doors to the fashion industry are wide open, but that's an illusion. The Chanels of the world are never going to let an average consumer go in there and Instagram their show. But what we're seeing on a contemporary level is that designers are realizing that they can grant controlled access to consumers, and in return, they're providing them with generous free marketing.
Fashion was something that you bought with your rare disposable income. Today, it's as much about something you pin, you post, you tweet, you retweet, you like, or you don't.
The customer is very educated, so they see something on the screen. They may not know exactly what it feels like, but they have a good idea. And if they miss the clothes in real life, they miss the clothes, other people will see them. I'm not bothered about that.
Instagram is molding the shape of Fashion Week. Designers are choosing alternate venues because they want a more creative show space. They want something that looks unique and different. And designers are using hashtags so that, you know, people can live tweet the event.
People today, I believe, have recognized that they, in fact, are their own brands. And every day they curate their brand on their Facebook page, on their Instagram feed, on their Twitter feed. And it's a privilege that people do, in fact, embrace your brand, allow it to be part of their brand. And that's what you hope and aspire for.
Once the Pandora's box is opened, it's hard to push away the public who we've, you know, things have been hyped up and people know when the shows are and people want to stand outside and see the celebrities and they know who the models are. It's hard to kind of undo that. And on some level, I guess it's good that people are interested in what we're doing in fashion. Because if they weren't, we maybe wouldn't be able to sell magazines or get page views on our website. So the fashion cycle will always continue no matter what we do.
Now that everyone's watching, Fashion Week is a branding exercise. Your show is a commercial for your brand. But as more and more people are tuning in, designers are upping the ante, creating beautiful, intricate, over-the-top spectacles to watch. So why wouldn't you want to capture that?
Wow, that was some wrapped with some insights around New York Fashion Week's evolution. But I think a lot of things are happening in such a global space because everything is so globalized these days. And so even though we're talking about the road to New York Fashion Week today, I think what's really cool is that there's a lot of things we can all relate to sitting on the front or the back rows of different fashion weeks all over the globe. Do you have any feedback on that, Edgy?
Right on point. I mean, the immediacy of fashion right now. And also there's a conscious effort to, you know, to democratize fashion, make it, you know, it used to be like fashion is the gatekeeper, you know, like a social gatekeeper. But now with social media, everybody can crash through this gate. Everybody can, by just following somebody who is inside, can see what's going on. And, you know, it familiarizes the public with fashion. It doesn't make us such an alien, like some planet that people only hear about or read about in magazines. It's right there. You can touch it. You can feel it, even though it's just virtually. So I agree that, you know, the immediacy of things, like social media has changed the sculpture of fashion and how we showcase it. And I don't see how that, I think it will only evolve further. I don't see how it goes back at all. I think it will only evolve and get more accessible. Mm-hmm. And it's great for fashion.
Morag, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I would say it's the era of bloggers, really, because, you know, as they said in the video, they want bloggers at their shows. They're looking at unique venues. They're changing it up a little bit. You know, so it's not in your normal inner tent or inner hall, your runway. It's at unique venues, that kind of thing, which is pretty much what bloggers are doing with photo shoots. You know, it's almost like this competition of who's got the best venue or the most unique venue. And, I mean, you know, like bloggers is badass, you know what I mean? It's really not, it's a very thought out, every post that they make is very thought out. So I would say, you know, if a top blogger, I mean, if we look at Hayley Hughes, who's one of the top fashion bloggers in the world, if she's coming to your show, it's because she wants to be at your show. So it's quite an honor, you know.
I like what you're saying. However, I still feel back to Nicola Cooper and Fashion Etiquette 101, Fashion Week Etiquette 101, yes. Where, you know, just I think people still have to behave in there. And I think 100%. It's rude. I would hate it to go to a fashion week where they say to me, oh, sorry, no phones allowed, because I'm like, actually, I'm not even coming, whatever, you know. But at the same time, I can understand their frustration and why they've actually set those boundaries. So I'm saying, yes, times have changed. And yes, everything is online. And yes, power to the bloggers. But at the end of the day, when John, Peter, Shaniqua, who and everyone have their stupid phones up, I can't see. And it's no longer a pleasure. What's the point of going to experience fashion?
You know, I often think...
Throw on your heels and your lipstick.
Yeah.
And then what?
I often think, like, what would Anna Wintour do if a blogger had to whip out a phone and put it up in front of her face? So, you know, if they won't do it in front of her, then why in front of anyone? So that really frustrates me as well. And I would stand up and say something because I'm also there to, you know, to view the show, to look at the fashion. So it's, as Edgy said, it is a catch-22.
All right, guys. Now I want to move straight to, in the beginning of the show, I spoke about some of the fashion brands I'm looking forward to at New York Fashion Week. And I mentioned a few of them. Edgy, what I would love you to do is to share with us a bit about what is so unique about some of the designers I mentioned. And I mentioned them specifically also because Edgy has a sort of connection to them, and Edgy is going to explain to us how this connection is, you know, is alive. Edgy, are you here with us? Okay, Morag, let's talk about some of your favorite designers. We lost Edgy there.
So, I mean, you know, it's the usual favorite designers that I have, but I must say one that I'm really looking forward to is actually on Monday evening at 9 p.m., and it's from a fashion house called Fashion Istanbul. And what it is, it's actually a collaborative runway. So it's a collective of five designers. They're from Istanbul originally. And what's so beautiful about it is they're, you know, each designer is actually sort of connected to New York in a way, even though they have, their roots are from Istanbul. And the clothes, you know, for me personally, I relate so well to Istanbul fashion. And I mean, the jewelry, the exorbitant makeup, it's just so, so beautiful. And you know, what's really amazing is obviously all the fabrics, everything is imported from Istanbul to New York. Fashion Istanbul, their makeup sponsor is Note Cosmetics, which is actually a Turkish cosmetic brand. They have offices in LA. And of course, their hair sponsor is Funex, which is also a hair product brand based in Turkey and New Jersey. So it's really amazing that they're still sticking with their people and they're all working together and obviously collaborating together in New York on the runway. So I'm looking forward to that.
Wow, that's nice. Edgy is not here with us still. Sorry, we lost Edgy on the line. However, I just want to go straight into one of the designers I mentioned. Her name is Mimi Plange. And she's guided by the principle she refers to as the democratization of luxury. She creates clothes that are very much inspired by the modern American luxury sportswear tradition with an infusion of dark romance. And she's also aiming this at the new international minded consumer. So one of the reasons that I pick Mimi, and obviously I've not seen any of her shows, this is going to be my first one, and this is also going to be our first exclusive with her, but the idea is that originally she's from Cameroon, and it's nice to be able to see brands like her also just soaring into higher heights in a space that's not really called home, but just making it work. And another thing is because of the fact that Edgy has worked with her a lot when it comes to development of her work. And therefore, because of that, I also am more curious to be able to see how this has translated into the new collection that he will be sewing, that she will be sewing this season. Another very interesting designer is Bibu, and we're going to let Edgy also kind of just explain why, you know, some of the connections he has with these designers, some of the work he's done with them, and then maybe also give us that excitement of, okay, fine, let's see how this one's evolved and let's look forward to them. Edgy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. So straight into, I just spoke a bit about Mimi.
Yes.
And I spoke about why I'm looking forward to her show, and obviously also hope that you can bring in, I know that you worked with her before, and I feel like the connection is also very interesting to see what, you know, what sort of evolution is going on in her creative mind, what she's going to be rolling out this season. And, you know, just some of the connections that you guys have had and what you are looking forward to. Why Mimi?
Well, I think Mimi, for one, is one of those, it's like a beacon in terms of being an African designer who is well respected here, you know. It's a rarity for us. I know we have a lot of talent, but to be in an elevated position like she is, to be well respected in the industry, it's quite something to be proud of. So that's one of the aspects of Mimi that I think we should be able to capture. She's just very well respected. Her work is consummate. For Fashion Lab to interview her and hear her story, it's almost like coming home, you know?
It's beautiful.
It'll be very inspiring for African designers to see that we are competing at that level, you know?
Yes.
Now
I want to go ahead.
And then we have, you know, like Bibu.
Yes.
Bibu is a huge American name in terms of design. He dresses every Hollywood star you can think of. And Michelle Obama loves his work and wears it a lot. But he's also just somebody who is so down to earth and so humble and so accessible. And he's someone who has a commitment to work with us. I mean, he's willing to work with, to help African designers develop, you know, like he's taken a couple of African designers as interns, and he's expressed his desire to work with us and help us build capacity in Africa through Fashion Lab. So, and just to, for him to be that huge in the industry, and for him to have that amount of interest in us, is something that is, it's very pleasant, mm-hmm. and very, very inspiring, and very hopeful for Fashion Lab as we plan to, you know, help African designers, you know, increase capacity, increase overall, like, knowledge of, look, African designers are quite knowledgeable, but I think the seasonality of fashion also does throw African designers under the bus sometimes. But coming to a designer like Bibu to intern, it allows you to begin to see how you can integrate, you know, because it is only by integrating our seasons that we can compete, because we can't offer them. Right now, it's probably winter or spring in South Africa.
First day of spring.
Yeah. And seasons change, and we are moving into the cold season now, you know? Mm-hmm. So just how African designers can begin to integrate, maybe have, like, capsule collections that are aimed at, you know, in between collections, in between seasons, so that African designers can have items that, in terms of fabric weight and seasonality, work with the outside market, you know. So I think that is helpful, you know. That's where I think Bibu is very important for us. He's a very good link.
And let's talk about the trio, the 3S4.
3S4 is one of those... And, you know, like, I've worked with Bibu for so long. We develop a lot of silhouettes for him. We develop fabrics. 3S4, we have been working with for more than, I don't know, 10 years. And it's one of those fashion design lines that you don't hear a lot of, but they are hard to beat. They are very hardcore fashion, very hardcore couture, like fashion for the pain of it, you know? You know, just... the intricacies of fashion. Everything about them is fashion at a very ephemeral level. Like, levels you don't see on the street. And there again, they have also expressed their desire to work with us, to help us grow capacity. To be honest with you, to have an African designer, it doesn't matter how good they are, to work with a guy like this allows you to like not be scared of how far you can take your talent. You know, I think these are the intangibles. These are the benefits that we, as like Fashion Lab, can show through their coverage of New York. And hopefully we get to interview all of these people that we want, because I know Fashion Week is going to be a big crush and people are running everywhere. But every snippet of time we get with these guys is definitely going to be eye opening for African designers, you know, in terms of how brave these designers are or how savvy they are with seasons and marketing and everything.
Very nice. Let's talk about Lakwan before we move on, because I want to also talk about other elements of Fashion Week, including the beauty makeup side of it as well.
Well, Lakwan is a black designer. You know, just like Mimi, there are people that it's like coming home for us, you know, for Fashion Lab. He's a young designer, but he's very well sought after. You know, he dresses a lot of Hollywood and is very active in the African market, actually, like in Lagos. I mean, in Nigeria, he dresses some celebrities there. Mm-hmm. And he has dual collections, both sportswear, I mean, and bridal, you know, but ready to wear and bridal. So he's very, 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 very good.
Mara, yeah. I think what I want to do is I want to talk about the show styles also that may be influenced by trends, you know, which obviously means that people are moving to a different direction on that. But I also want to talk about the makeup and the big role that that plays, because hair and makeup is not just hair and makeup for a look. When it comes to a designer putting up a collection and really trying to tell a story, the makeup and hair is a very crucial part of it. Morag, you're the expert on this, so I'd like to just maybe pick your mind and just share with us a bit about what you might be expecting, what we've seen in the past, where we are going, what you think we're going to be seeing at New York Fashion Week this season.
You know what? As a makeup artist, any Fashion Week is the most exciting. But New York Fashion Week, oh my God, it's the most exhilarating event of the year. It obviously, as a makeup artist, it allows you backstage to get the first look and feel for the current and upcoming trends and techniques. The experience of being backstage as a team member is a crucial part of building networks. Obviously, you know, you're meeting so many different artists. And, of course, the ability to lead and design shows that can separate yourself from other artists. Working Fashion Weeks really sets you up for success in the industry. And, of course, you have behind the scenes and you just experience the wonderful chaos and creativity that happens backstage. You know, if we're looking at, you know, preparing for a show as a makeup artist, it's not just slapping on any makeup. It's not about, oh, let me wake up and see how I feel today. It's an intricate part of the fashion show. There's months and months of meetings that happen before the actual show, you know, to discuss what inspired the designer for the clothes. You know, it's almost like the makeup artist has to get inside the designer's head and obviously, you know, bring forward their creativity in sort of getting into what the designer sees. So, yes, it is, you know, it obviously is difficult. You need to, obviously, it comes with experience in that field. And, I mean, only the best of the best are doing this. And they're called key makeup artists behind this, you know, backstage. When we look at trends in that, I'm just going to go back 3 years, because if I had to go back 10 years, we'd be talking all day. So just quickly, specifically New York Fashion Week, in 2013, there were really beautiful, luminous matte skins and, you know, things like cat eyes were very prominent, pencil liners, dramatic shapes, and they were also dotted lines at the bottom of the eye that gave it a very avant-garde look. There was a nude and a no lip, and we saw this on Kenzo, Christian Dior, Jason Mu, and then of course almond shapes with darker eyeshadows, and those were seen on Michael Kors and Tracy Reese. And then, of course, the red lip. I always say red lip will never go out of fashion. It's classic. It's clean. And it also tells a texture story. So even though it's a red lip, it could be a matte. It could be a high gloss. It could be an orange with a red tinge. It could be an orange with a blue undertone. So there's really so many textures to go by. And these were seen on Zac Posen, Marc Jacobs, Armani, Oscar de la Renta. And then going over to 2014, of course, the unforgettable edgy cat eye that we saw on Marc Jacobs, which was rich teals and royal blues. And that's when we really started seeing, you know, the deeper colors coming through on the catwalk. And as far as hair goes, there were things like punky wigs with really regular cuts on the runway. Calvin Klein kept it simple and fresh, clean and sculpted faces with unreal glows. And then, of course, the bronze eyeshadows on the eyes, which is a Calvin Klein staple all the years they've done it. And then on Rachel Zoe, the really chunky French braids. I'm a huge fan of braids, and I think that it's something, it never goes out of fashion. So
me too here.
Yeah.
Me too.
So even though it was in 2014, we're probably going to see it on the runway now again. It just never goes out of fashion. And then, of course, your favorite, Liz, in 2015, the no makeup look. Hair was either underground punk inspired or in a sexy bun, so sort of from one extreme to the other. And of course, Ralph Lauren had the beautiful golden glittery eyes. And then Michael Kors stole the braids look once again in 2015. Reed Krakoff brought in the cobalt nails and the cobalt hair bands, which is obviously a signature color in his collections. And then we look at Anna Sue, which brought in cosmic beauty with greenish glitters that was brought in the inner corners of the eyes. And, of course, once again, Oscar de la Renta bringing in, you know, 2014 we saw the bold red lip, and then he brought in the bold black, very dark sort of grungy liner vibe. And then 2016 spring, I have spoken about this before, but, of course, the Candy Apple. And it's one sort of fashion show where makeup artists really united in on the shade front, and the color to know was the snow white apple red. And what that means is that the face was kept really clean, no contouring, no blush, and this really, really bold apple red lip. And designers that did it was Jason Wu, DKNY, Nina Ricci, Topshop, and then of course the blue slate, which Chanel did beautifully at Paris Fashion Week, you know, where they had the show in the airport. They had almost like a light blue mask over the eye area, and I mean, that was just so beautiful. And then things that I'm kind of looking forward to this fashion week, New York Fashion Week, is I think it's going to be very street styled, minimal foundation, winged eyes, obviously, but kept very simple, dewy skin, natural hues of the, you know, tones of the skin, a very bold lip, and of course, dark nails. So any shade of dark nails and short, and of course, a bold brow. So yeah, that's what I'm foreseeing for this fashion week.
Wow. Edgy, are you learning anything?
Well, I'm learning a lot. I think...
Sorry, Liz, yes. Just to stop you. I've actually got a clip that I'd love to play just to sort of inspire people that, you know, it's not just about slapping on makeup. And here we've got a clip that I'd love to play.
So today we're backstage at the Vora Axel show for Spring Summer 16, and we're here working with a very low, loose, romantic ponytail. The hair's been prepped with the KMS Moisture Repair Spray to give a very natural, soft finish. We've worked with a very considered low parting on one side, whichever suits the girl best. And we want a little bit of structure through the front and working through into a very soft, low ponytail through the back, so it's nice and clean and very simplistic look. This is my third season working with Bora, and yeah, his clothes have always got a very soft romantic feel, but there's always an element of a darker side to everything he does, which is why we've worked with the more considered parting at the front, just to emulate that from the clothes as well.
Basically, Bora's collection this season was really inspired by Etrelda Lange, this photographer from the early 1900s. And she used to take pictures of her two daughters in her garden. And those were kind of the first printed pictures. And the colors are very innocent and very delicate. So we just wanted to translate that within the makeup as well as Bora is doing in his collection. And then we had another reference for Natasha Kinski in the late 70s. So again, that very youthful, innocent, naive kind of look. So we're creating that today by doing a beautiful foundation. And then we are doing a matte white eyeliner in the waterline. So that brings you those big, innocent eyes. No mascara, because obviously when you're very young, you don't use mascara yet. So we're keeping that very plain. And then we brush up the brow, nice big brows. And a hint of orange on the eye and a bit of pink on the cheeks. So that all goes very well with the collection and keeps it together with the innocence and the delicacy this season.
Thank you. And that was just backstage from New York Fashion Week, Bora. And as you can see, you know, inspiration's taken as far back as the 1700s and brought back through the 70s. So as a makeup artist, hairstylist, you really need to get inside the designer's head, as I was saying, to bring through that inspiration that it reflects on the runway and reflects through their clothes as well.
It's very exciting. I hope that Maura, we can thank you for the glam up. Today was a kind of like a glam up from the beginning, but still gave us and, you know, gives us insight of kind of what it means. And I love the fact that we cannot emphasize more than we have that, you know, fashion, a fashion collection is a story and a fashion brand is also a story. And you can't just, like Morag said, slap something on or just say, you know what, we've got a show now, come just do anything and let's go, because then most likely your story might just not get to where you want it to be. It might just not make sense. It might just not be the story you thought you were telling. So I like those little tips and hints. I look forward personally to some of those dark colors that you're talking about this season, and we'll definitely have a conversation. And if you win, honey, I am buying you lunch. Okay, high five on that.
Yeah,
if you win, lunch is on me, because it's nice to look at these things, predict, and then see it come to life, like Nicola says. I don't know, like, what are some of, so you said, you spoke about street style. As we wait on Edgy to get back with us, what are some of the, you said, say something about Bora. Is Bora the designer?
No, Bora is just the video that we watched. He's actually not showing at this Fashion Week. Okay. So it's actually from the Summer Spring 16 backstage. But, you know, street style, you're seeing a lot of like sneaker bloggers and that kind of thing coming in. So I think that they're also influencing design. You're seeing the WNBA, you know, women's collection. So I'm not saying sort of street style in the sense that it's too casual. So you could still do a beautiful maxi skirt, you know, with a pair of sneakers kind of thing. So it's still very high fashion, but just sort of more comfortable that everyone is able to access it and everyone's, you know, feel that they can wear it. So yeah, that's sort of what I'm predicting. So also a huge thing at the moment is the sports luxe style. So once again, like even with what you're wearing today, Liz, you could like a tassel coat with like a pair of funky sneakers, you know. But that's sort of
catch me dead is not me. Never, ever, ever. You see me.
You could do
all that, but yes.
Yeah. So, just things like that. I think, you know, more comfortable sort of high fashion trends.
I'm really looking forward. Now, Maura, before we move on into our final segment of the day, you are also going to be, I think, doing makeup for one of the fashion weeks.
Yes, I am actually. I'm doing makeup for SA Fashion Week, and that is happening at the end of September. I'm actually keying two shows, so that's for the autumn winter 17 collection for JJ Skuman Sun Goddess and Colleen Hart Heritage Earth.
So have you started the conversations already?
We'll be starting them in 2 weeks' time, so just a week before the show. And I'm super excited to get started with that.
I don't want to get you to kiss and tell. We want to look forward and see what you're going to do to be able to help them really bring out the stories behind their collections. Edgy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a, we were on a journey today. However,
bumpy
we told,
journey.
We told you to run as fast as we were running, but you're just not catching up. But Edgy, just in a nutshell, we want to just sum up this conversation around the road to New York. And we're going to be talking next week, touching on other specifics that really, really are important when it comes to fashion weeks. For example, the venues, the setup, how you set this up, and also the fact that trends have changed the way that designers prefer to show today, and how we're going to be talking about all of that. So, Edgy, in a nutshell, how can we wrap this up with your echoes from New York?
Yeah, I think the important thing for us coming to New York is just to see, like, the atmosphere of Fashion Week, you know, to see the temperature, like, what the designers are doing, how it's shown, the whole sculpture of Fashion Week. I think that's the big thing, like, because it affects how it's reported, how it's streamed, you know, just, it's very fascinating, and I can't wait for us to be a part of that.
Okay, fantastic. Now, any parting shots to our listeners on this topic? Morak, anything to leave the listeners with?
I just think that, you know, as a listener, you might feel a bit overwhelmed, you know, it's Fashion Week this, Fashion Week that, but I just think that, you know, it's so inspiring to be a part of everything, and to obviously be a first of everything, and, you know, just be inspired by fashion and still keep it real by being yourself, and just bring in, you know, different looks, different feels, whether it be through makeup, through shoes, through, you know, clothing pieces. Yeah, just, you know, keep it real and keep it beautiful.
Thank you, guys. Now we go to a fun glass of wine. One for you, Morag, one for Edgy. Thank you. And quickly, to who would you want to dress and why today?
I would love to dress Jennifer Lopez. That woman does not age. Like, I was literally looking at Instagram pictures of her this week, and I'm just like, what is she doing to herself?
Agelessly.
I need it. I need it in my life now. I need to start young so that by the time I'm her age, I look 20 years younger.
Like she's
just
growing,
killing
younger.
It. Killing it.
Edgy, who would you want to dress besides yourself and me and Morag?
Tough one. Maybe Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm. And why?
Because she's such a fashion plate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, is that because I said you can't dress me or Morak? All right.
One of the
Edgy, we'll leave you on that. I today want to dress Madame Oprah Gayle Winfrey because she's a powerhouse, that woman. She is a powerhouse. And I want to start associating with strong women even more, because I think that the people we hang around, even though she's not really coming for lunch tomorrow, as we agreed, that the people we hang around are a reflection of where we're going, you know, and our journeys. I look at this woman and everything she's been able to achieve. And also, like, you go back to the age thing. I don't know what she's doing, if she's got Botox and things going on, but whatever she's doing, she's such a powerhouse. She's been doing amazing things. She's inspired so many people in the world, and I want to dress her and maybe put her into something like, not like what I'm wearing today, but
no.
I want to dress her in something that's like a signature Lizzo piece, maybe like a two-piece white, beautiful, embroidered pencil pants and a little cute little jacket and a tie neck blouse to bring that sophistication to life even more. So that's me for today. Otherwise, to all of our listeners who are tuned in, we are on www.fashionlabafrica.com. We are going down to New York next week. If you're in the New York area and you want to hang out, or you want to talk to us, or you want to share with us some of the highs as we look forward to New York Fashion Week, you can also tweet us. We're on FashionLabAF. Otherwise, peace and love. Continue to take care of your brands. Make sure you understand that you can't just slap on makeup, like Morag said, and try to really focus on telling your stories in your unique way. Your story is your soul, and your soul is what we're buying. Peace and love until next week.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.